Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, this morning we're going to talk about the fact that one day God will balance the books. God will balance the books, and you'll figure that out as we go along this morning. Let's begin reading in verse 5. Of 2 Thessalonians. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you and grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His might, when He comes on that day to be glorified in His saints, to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of His calling, may fulfill every resolve for good and every work by faith of His power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a lot of strong statements in that passage, is it not? But nevertheless, it is the Word of God to us this morning. And we think about things like this a lot in the times that we live in today. We look, you know, I don't know if you're like me or not, but I often wonder, as I see the condition of our world, the violence, mistreatment of people, confusion and unrest as we see, I often wonder, as I see all of that, Lord, how long? How long until you do something about it? How bad does it have to be? Now, what I do know is that God will do something about it. He's already at work on it. But God has His own timetable that I'm not privy to. I don't know what's next, but I'm just trusting Him for that. Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. Like all the hubbub this week that yesterday was going to be the last day. And we're still here. You know why? Because only God knows the day or the hour. It's foolishness to believe that man could figure out what day is going to be the last day of the earth. I'm glad God's in control, aren't you? I'm glad that He's in control. There's definitely a day out there, though, that God will balance the books. And when this day comes, God will bring relief to those who love Him, and He will bring retribution to those who do not. God will bring relief to His people, and the rest will get what's coming to them. We have no worry about that. And thinking about how God will balance the books, first, there's hope for those who are faithful. Hope for those who are the faithful, I might say. One of the most difficult things to do, and you'll agree with me. One of the most difficult things to do when going through painful times is to keep the proper perspective. When you lose perspective, you lose purpose. When our minds get so consumed about the things that we don't like about our circumstances, we fail to consider what God's doing through our circumstances. God does not forget about you, and He doesn't forget about me when we're going through tough times. He doesn't. He knows that. He knows us, right? The Christians at Thessalonica were being persecuted for their faith and wondering how long it was going to last. And then Paul told them about a day coming when Jesus was going to come back and to give them rest. I bet that was sweet, sweet words, don't you know? First, he'll give us rest from our enemies. Verse 6 said, "Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you." People should not today not take it lightly that those who are against God's people will one day be dealt with. I don't have to worry about me getting revenge against them. God's going to take care of them. God's at work in the lives of those who love Him. And even though we might not be able to see past what's right in front of us, God is at work. He's at work. We need to see beyond the forest, right? You've heard the thing, can't see the forest for the trees, the circumstances. But we get caught up in that, don't we? We get caught up with what's right in front of us. And you can tell that by the way that we pray or the prayer requests that we make. We pray about things that are temporal. We pray about things that are about our health, about our well-being, that our physical needs are met. And that's fine to pray for all those things. God knows we need those things, right? He says that in His Word. But we don't seem to pray much about is for the things that matter. And what matters is glorifying God in our lives. We're His people. And reaching the lost or accomplishing God's will for our life. How often do we ask to pray about someone that we know that's dying and going to hell? How often does that come up in prayer requests? When we pray for God to fix the wrongs in life now, we fail to realize that fixing the wrongs we see now is part of His eternal plan. He has a plan to give you relief or rest from what you consider to be your enemies. At Jesus' coming, God will bring relief to all believers who have suffered at the hands of the ungodly. He'll answer the prayers of those who have prayed, how long? Well, He also brings us rest not only from our enemies, but from our sorrows. Verse 7 said, "To grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us." Imagine the Christians at Thessalonica's reaction when Paul told them that you're going to soon get relief and rest from your afflictions. They were in the middle of it. They were in the thick of it, as we say, of persecution. And the thought of rest would bring them great relief. God will bring ultimate relief to every believer when Jesus comes. Amen. Are you excited of the fact that Jesus is coming to bring us relief? I'm ready. God will bring eternal rest for His people. And that's not to suggest that God can't or won't give us rest in this life. In even our most troubling times, God still has His purposes. He's still concerned about the things that burden you. He's concerned about what's going on in your life and bothering you today. We may not have rest from our sorrows now, but we can be at rest in our sorrows because God is still in control. And then, not only has God promised us rest from our enemies and our sorrows, He's promised us rewards for our faith. As hard as it may be to understand, the relief granted from our enemies and the rest provided for our sorrows will pale in comparison to the rewards that we have for our faith. Verse 10 said, "When He comes on that day to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at among all who believe because our testimony to you was believed." That's faith in verse 10. When He comes, it says He will be glorified in His saints. Who are the saints? That's us, right, Brother Mellon? That's us, the saved. It says he will be marveled or cherished at among those who believe. Without this promise, it's hard to see that anything good can come out of our pain. But one day, God's going to turn it all around. He's going to turn it all around. For those who now face affliction, persecution, and pain, God will one day grant the privilege of sharing with Jesus in His glory. Isn't that great? You're going to share with Jesus in His glory. I don't think we can really understand that this morning, can we? Not, we can't really grab a hold of it. We just know it's something magnificent. It's great. What a reward that'll be. But in the meantime, we are to be faithful, because future promises must always be met by practical obedience. In other words, that's what we're doing now. We're not going to sit around and just wait for Jesus to come back. We're not just going to sit around and come and sing songs and preach sermons and all these things just waiting for Jesus to come back. There's things that we can be doing to be obedient. While we long for heaven, we must also remember that we got work to do. There's work to do. Verse 11 says, "To this end we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by His power." So what are you doing for the Lord? How is it that you're being faithful? We've got to look at this verse, however, and remember that it is not our works that saves us. Jesus made you worthy of salvation when you trusted in His work on the cross. But your works is what makes you worthy. It demonstrates that you are indeed a saved person. Did you understand that this morning? Your works say that you are saved. But your works make you worthy. So the question is, are you passionately pursuing Christ through your works for Him? What are you doing for the Lord? I think sometimes I'm not nearly as passionate as I ought to be. I'm not really passionately pursuing Him like I should be. But so there's work to be done there. Would you agree with me on that? Not that you should agree that I'm not passionately pursuing. I'm talking about all of us, right? We're not doing what we should do. We talked about hope for those who are faithful. Now let's consider the second part of this passage, which talks about the fate of those who do evil. The fate. While the saved will receive rest and relief when Jesus comes, the destiny of the ungodly will be much different. First off, God's judgment on the ungodly is just. Verse 6 says, "Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you." Life with Christ in heaven and the horror of separation from Him in hell are wrapped up in the justice of God. God's justice always demands that He does what is fitting and right. God is just in everything that He does. And sin always demands God's judgment. So given the fact that all human beings are sinful, then how does a just God reward some and punish others? God's purpose in sending His Son Jesus is the answer to that question. God does not set aside His justice when He redeems the sinner. God's judgment on sin is always the same. God has never changed His mind about being just when it comes to sinners. But through the substitutionary death of Christ on the cross, God provided a way to show mercy and still be just in what He does. God's wrath is on all sinners, and all stand guilty before Him. The key difference is Christ. The difference is Christ. Those who have received Christ are forgiven, and those who have rejected Him are not. That's how cut and dried it is. We don't have to wonder. You receive Christ, you're forgiven. You reject Him, you're not. You receive Christ, the wrath of God has been removed from you. You reject Him, the wrath of God remains on you. How much more cut and dried could that possibly be? God's just judgment is always just. After God provided a way out, and He has done everything to keep people out of hell, His judgment on the lost is still just, because He's already done everything for everybody to be able to go to heaven. Notice also, not only is His judgment just, it's fearful. Verse 8 says, "In flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ." The words Paul used in this passage are vivid. Affliction, vengeance, destruction. Nowhere in here do we find the slightest hope concerning the destiny of those who are outside Christ. God's going to settle His accounts. While it appears that to us today that injustice and unrighteousness prevail, God's going to have the last word. I'm telling you, He is. God's going to have the last word to it all. He'll repay those who don't know Him and those who do not obey the gospel of Christ. That's what the Word says. God takes no delight in those who dishonor Him, those who dishonor His Word, or those who dishonor Jesus. God takes no delight in that. It's fearful. I wish somebody would hear me this morning. I wish somebody would listen this morning. A third thing is that God's judgment is final. Verse 9 says, "They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might." I want you to think about the weight of this verse. Think about the weight of this verse. This says that the ultimate fate of every person who does not know God and has not obeyed the gospel is eternal destruction. You know, did God not do a tremendous thing when He sent Jesus to the cross to help us avoid that? And you know what, this morning? There's people all over the place that call themselves Christians that don't no more take that seriously than nothing in the world. They don't take that seriously. And they're just like they're playing Christians. They're playing church. And I get so tired of it. And so disgusted. Do you not realize what Jesus has done here? And see, Jesus Himself described hell as eternal fire, eternal punishment, eternal pain, eternal separation. But look again at this verse. It says, "They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord." You see, though the darkness and the fire and the anguish and the pain will make hell unbearable. What about the total absence of God? The total absence of God. The only reason this world hasn't already fell apart is because of the presence of God. The presence of God's Holy Spirit is the only thing holding everything still together. But to have a conscious, definite awareness of God's presence and yet be completely cut off from Him has to be the worst kind of hell imaginable. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, then I want to invite you to do that today. Let's quit playing games, man. Let's come to Jesus. As long as we have breath and there's still time on the clock to make each day count, there's still time. But we have to know that even though we don't know when Jesus is coming, we know His coming is imminent. It's imminent. That's what we don't, I don't think we believe either. I think we believe Jesus is coming someday, but not today. Jesus is coming someday, but not this week. Or not this month. He's coming someday out there. His coming is imminent. That's what the Bible teaches. And so what we need to make sure of is that when He comes to balance the books, we've got to make sure, to use an accounting term, that we're on the right side of the ledger. Right? We've got to make sure that we're on the right side of the fence. Make sure of your salvation. Make sure that when Jesus comes, He'll see one of His saints and not see someone who rejected Him. And let Him find us faithful, right? Let Him find us faithful. I really don't think that's too much to ask. And you know why? Because when I consider what Jesus has done for me to keep me out of hell, I want to be faithful to Him. I want to be faithful to Him more than I do my job. I want to be faithful to Him more than I do my family or anything else. I want to be faithful to Him, faithful to Jesus. And I want to be found that way when He comes. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Father, please help us in this time. Surely You've spoken to someone. Lord, in the quietness of these moments, Lord God, I pray that You'd help us consider our own souls. Lord, help us to move, we pray, during this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.